The Brad Sesnatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. A lot is going on. We are going to do a lot of college football, total college football. In fact, it's a new show that I'm launching over on CW7 tomorrow night. Very excited about our partnership with CW7. We are up to four different shows that we have partners with. CW7 being the latest, of course, Arizona Family Sports and Your View Cox. We appreciate all of our partners. Armin Katayan is going to be with us. Here's his book. This book is so good, but this book is so outdated, and I'll tell you why in a minute. It's all about college football. And I called Wilner because he's been all over this story, and I had to tape something with him. He looks like a homeless. He looks like a wreck. So, but he said he'd give me a few minutes on what happened overnight. If you haven't heard about the Pac-2 becoming the Pac-6 and all that, John is going to be with us as well. So Armin Katayan and John Wilner, that is straight ahead. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. I saw where Jeff Meeching, Desert Financial, and the Arizona Cardinals signed a huge deal earlier this week. Watching the news last night, Kyler had a big Desert Financial practice jersey patch. The business of sports. So overnight, the Pac-2 became the Pac-6. And this will take place not next year, but the year after. And it will be for scheduling and all purposes. And it will include Colorado State. It will just be right now. Colorado State, Fresno State, not Wyoming, San Diego State, and Boise State. So there's a few people left out here. San Jose State's left out. These are Mountain West Conference schools. They're going to have to pay an exit fee of about $17 million. The PAC has recognized how valuable their asset. The Pac-12 shield has 109 years of history. You just don't toss that out. But here's the thing about it. So these four schools are coming in. They're going to have to go pursue at least two more. And if they want to get back to 12, are there enough schools that are out there that are interested? Are there schools out there that made the move earlier? I'll just use Cal and Stanford as an example. And they want to be with Duke and North Carolina and all that stuff. Okay. But are they going to say, you know, this whole deal about being partnered with this conference? Like, I think Arizona State and Arizona right now made the right move. I do. When this was all the way back in 2017, I think, is when I first wrote they need to go to the Big 12. Because I'll just give next week as an example. Like tonight, they're playing Texas State. Jordy is down there. You can follow Jordan Hamm over on his social, and he will be at the game tonight. But next week, they play at Texas Tech. And the game, I believe it's noon here, two there, or one here, three there, whatever. It's an afternoon game, and it's on FS1. And if you play it right as a fan, it's a very short trip, kind of like going up to the Bay Area. But you're on a better network than waiting around for the Pac-12 network to show up, which they won't do. You're in the middle of the day, which means you're going to get the highlight shows in the late evening window and the late night window. You know, the 4 p.m. West, 7 p.m., 7:30 West time zone. You play a game in the middle of the day and people see your product over and over and over. How about, you know, back in the day when Coach Kush was here, we never did this stuff. We never come. Okay. I know for some of you, this is hard. It's just not that hard. It isn't. So when you're looking at the business of sports today, and you have the San Diego market, Southern California, they're now going to be part of the Pac-12. That's going to be a huge push for those kids in Southern California to say, you know, I could go to the Big Ten, be with UCLA and USC, but I'm going to be just fine in the Pac-12, Conference of Champions and all that. Having Fresno State, somewhat interesting. Like San Jose State, you have the Bay Area. Okay, so Fresno State, you have Northern California. You have the San Francisco television market. Okay, I can buy that. They've done a very good job with their program. And so you, when you have those two products coming in, Boise State, I think, deserves it. And that part of the country, for as long as they've been doing it, and now they're going to be right there with Washington State and Oregon State. Colorado State, television market in Denver, makes a ton of sense. The Colorado State, Colorado game Saturday, I'm really looking forward to watching. And so these moves that are being made today, I think the bigger question, I'll talk to John Wilner about it here in a few minutes, is who's next? I didn't want to wait till Monday for a weekly thing with John. I just want to get after it and say, okay, where are we going from here? It's the American Conference that's going to fall apart. What happens to New Mexico? What happens to Wyoming? What happens to San Jose State? So you think about some of these programs that have been left out in this round of expansion. And then there's the ones that left the Pac-12. Would they ever go in reverse course? Would they break up? You know, like Washington State and Washington are no longer together. I like that Washington State and Washington and Oregon State are playing their rivalry games this weekend. Civil War is this weekend. Apple Cups this weekend. I wish Arizona and Arizona State would do the same thing. They're caught up in their tradition and all that stuff around Thanksgiving Day. Usually that game doesn't mean much. Usually it's on opposite Alabama, Auburn. Usually it's on the same day as Michigan, Ohio State. Usually it's on a third tier network, or in the case of FS1, that doesn't even send announcers out to game sites. Just saying how it is. Tonight Arizona State is in a position to go 3-0. Kansas State and U of A tomorrow night, a Friday night game. Not a big fan of Friday nights, but still, Friday nights I go to high school games. I will watch Arizona and Kansas State tomorrow night. So a big college football weekend. That is coming up. The Cardinals lose their right tackle. The Cardinals have lost players on the defensive side of the football. The Cardinals have Kyler Murray on the injury report. The Cardinals have the Rams this week. The Rams usually beat the Cardinals. Just go look at the history. The numbers don't lie. Why is it I feel like all that's going to change and they're going to win this weekend? I don't know. The hometown nine. So Merrill Kelly's, this hamstring cramping stuff with Merrill Kelly, I don't know. Like, I'm sure the trainers have said pickle juice or something, anything. What is it that you're doing? Is it your coffee? Is it whatever? But when he's not able to get out and it's a blowout game and they have to go to the bullpen, Jordan Montgomery might have got the softest save in the history of mankind. It was 8-4 when he came into the game. He did three innings. They won 14-4. They had 13 extra base hits. They just destroyed the Rangers the last couple of days. And when you look at Gino Suarez and you look at his offensive production, and then you go back and take this show from around, I don't know, third week in April until about the middle of June, it's, what are we doing here with Gino Suarez? Now he's going to have 30 and 100. It's just the beauty of sports. Okay, so Armin Katayan is going to join us next as we get this book. Is so, if you are into college football, name, image, likeness, the first chapter is on Nick Saban and access. The second chapter is on Harbaugh and access. It's very current up till about 6 months ago. And then the last 24 hours, I think, has changed. But I will ask Armin about the Pac-2 becoming Pac-6. And then an emergency pod with Wilner. That is all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, the hard part about doing book interviews is you don't want to give away the book, because Armin Katayan would like for you to buy the book. And I will tell you that reading this book, I'm having Armin on today. You see him there, well-known, national, worldwide, done a lot through his career. He could write two more chapters this morning, because this morning, as you're coming on, the Pac-12, who you addressed in here, the death of it, the what's going on with the House against the NCAA settlement, still up in the air. I appreciate you coming on board, because this book, the price, it is must read. And in total football, it is must read top to bottom.
Well, thank you, Brad. That's very nice of you to say. Yeah, I woke up this morning to the news of San Diego State is now, officially a member of the, what is it now, the Pac-6.
Right.
And you know, in some ways, I feel, you know, it's my alma mater. I feel great for the Aztecs and for the program because they were kind of treading water there. But I feel bad because it's just another domino that's fallen as a result of the implosion of the Pac-12 for reasons that, you know, we can certainly get into, but mostly based on greed and self-interest. And to see the destruction of a 108-year-old conference in a matter of about 48 to 72 hours was, and we tell that story, is pretty depressing, having been a graduate in the 70s of San Diego State and certainly seeing what was going on in the Pac-8, the Pac-10, and then the Pac-12, just the Conference of Champions. But I feel good for San Diego State. They found a great landing spot.
The way that it is shaping up now, this is not the end.
No.
I mean, so, and you've, if I go back through the years, you've been all over college sports. It feels like you're going to have about five more books in you. It's exaggerating because while this is timely today, you could add chapters, as I said, off the top, and yet it's not going to stop at the Pac-12. It's going to go over to the American. The American's going to lose people. And schools like Air Force and Wyoming are going to end up in places we never expected. And it's going to continue to trickle down and trickle down. And I just feel as though this book is so timely in terms of the Pac-12. So you're not surprised by today's news, or are you?
I'm a little surprised that it happened so quickly. I know that Oliver Luck, you know, was a very well-established, very well-known senior athletic director at West Virginia, was a senior executive at the NCAA headquarters, very smart guy. He's been working with Oregon State and Washington State to try to keep it together because there was so much money involved and there was so much value to the archives in the Pac-12 archives. And so the fact that it happened this quickly was surprising, but you're right. I do go back. I mean, you can go back to 1990 and Raw Recruits, which was a book about college basketball and the summer league and the AAU scene. But then you go to 2013 and Jeff Benedict and I did a book called The System, which at the time was a deep dive into the chaotic state of big time college football with realignment and the pending playoffs and things like that. But that's basically child's play compared to what we're dealing with now with NIL and the portal and massive realignment and the numbers now for the media, the grant of rights money, the media money going into individual schools is it's jaw dropping in a lot of ways. I mean, you're talking $60 million now, and it's soon to be $80 million in the SEC for each individual school. So you're absolutely right. Is this the end game? No, I think the crystal ball is still pretty cloudy as to what's going to happen. Will there be a super conference? And what happens to those? I'm really close with Tim Pernetti, who's now the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. What happens to that conference? What happens to the Sun Belt? What happens to the Mid-American? You know, our schools are going to get picked off. There's no question. But in the aftermath of that, what happens to those schools that are on the outside looking in? I don't think it's a pretty picture at this point.
What happens to Notre Dame?
So Notre Dame will be Notre Dame because of the brand and because of the relationship that they have with NBC. They were smart, I think, to get into the ACC in certain sports. But, you know, when they're getting, I don't know what their per year media rights number is, but it has to be in line with the SEC. So it's somewhere in that $60 to $80 million a year into that athletic department budget. If there's a super conference, there's no question Notre Dame is getting the first invite as an independent. But how many of the, it's interesting because how many of the SEC schools really qualify in super, super football programs? And then you look at the Big 12, does Arizona State make it? Arizona right now, yes, because of where they're standing with TMAC and NOAA. But does a Wake Forest make it? Does a North Carolina State make it? You know, that's going to be very interesting because, you know, when you're thinking in terms of musical chairs, when that music stops and people look around and they go, uh-oh, now what? You know, where's our money coming from? And we've committed to facilities and we've committed to coaching salaries and uh-oh, now the money's drying up. So it's going to be interesting, but there's enough chaos now for me, just for John and I to get through this book, because honestly, Brad, at times, John Talty, who's a you know, nationally known college sports writer, college football writer for CBS Sports and 24/7. There'd be days where we would be talking to each other and I'd be like, can this just stop for just 5 minutes? Yeah. Can we not have another lawsuit? Can we not have another school moving to another conference? But if you love college football, and we do, I think the price really gives you a very deep inside look to, you know, kind of a fly on the wall because of the access we got to the price, not just the financial price, but the physical, the emotional, and the psychological toll that's being taken on these coaches, everybody from the presidents of the universities on down.
Well, and I'll get to the price in just one moment. I have one other question I want to get to you about, and that is news of the day stuff with what happened with the Pac-12. Your view on House versus settlement with the NCAA and when that will be finished, and when that is finished, I'll go back to your original thoughts, it's going to completely reshape, and that could be in the next week, the next month, before the end of the year. What do you see on House versus settlement?
Well, I think the House case, you know, as we talk about in the book, you know, there's a chapter, you know, you've read it, it's called Oppenheimer, and it's really the beginning of the O'Bannon case, yep, which led to the Alston case, which led to the House case, which led to the Supreme Court ruling, a 9-0 ruling in July of 2021 that opened the floodgates to NIL. And when you read the book, you understand that this was inevitable for the NCAA. It had been called a cartel by lower courts. It is a cartel under this, you know, under the definition of what a cartel does. Certainly, it was in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act by artificially suppressing wages of your labor force, which was the student athletes themselves in the major sports. So as you look forward, Claudia Wilkin, the judge in Northern California, the district court judge, hit a pause button on the settlement, the $2.8 billion settlement, saying, wait a second here. The NCAA has now come back with restrictions on NIL money and the ability for athletes to make money through their NIL engagements. The NCAA wants pretty strict restrictions and a uniformity to NIL, and that's just not going to happen. I mean, we are now in an open season in terms of your ability to make money based upon whether you're the starting quarterback at Texas or you're the starting quarterback at Texas Tech. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. You can't have it all the same. I thought Claudia Wilkin would, and I didn't know all the details of it, but when I saw what the NCAA was asking for or demanding in its settlement, I thought there's just no way she's lived through all this before. She understands the state of the game right now. So if that doesn't come to some sort of happy conclusion, then you're going back into court. And that's going to be a problem for the NCAA because they're going to get sued again and again and again and again. I think it's smart to revenue share the way they're talking about $20 million. But I don't think we've seen the end game here yet in the courts. And unless the NCAA wakes up one day and realizes, and I think Charlie Baker, the new president, is very, very smart, very pragmatic, they're just going to have to give up this wild goose chase of having some control over the NIL market, because that's just a form of supply and demand. You know, if you're a top rated, I mean, here we had in Carlsbad, there's a Julian Sain out of Carlsbad High, who's now at Ohio State, long story how he got there. But he could have, on the open market, Julian could have commanded $8 million over 4 years. That's how good he is. But he took a deep discount to go to Alabama because he wanted to be involved with Nick Saban and be developed by Nick. Well, okay, that was Julian's decision. That wasn't the NCAA's decision, and it certainly wasn't a conference decision. So we'll see how this plays out. I think right now, I don't think anybody has a clear picture of what the end game is here. And I don't think we will for another 3 or 4 or 5 years.
The name of the book is The Price. Armen Kataian with us for a few minutes, along with John Talty. It is out. It is must read. If you're into the business of sports, if you're a college football fan, it takes you inside and out. There's even a chapter on the University of Arizona that I read through with Jed Fish's tenure. You had great access on this, and the idea of the lead off with Nick Saban followed by Jim Harbaugh makes the first 50, 60 pages. And again, I'm not going to give away the whole book, but just so you can put this thing down. because it's the access that you had was tremendous. That's just,
well, you get that access, Brad, because, you know, I've been doing this a long time. You know, I came out of San Diego in the 70s to work at the Times Advocate, as we talked about, and I worked at the San Diego Union. I was at SI in the early 80s. So you build up a certain reputation over time with high profile people. But I've always said that, you know, access equals, you know, trust equals access equals information. So if you build up the trust, when you come calling on a program to say, I would like to have some sort of rare behind the scenes access, and when you say A and you do A over the course of a career and you don't do B and C, people talk. Bill Belichick talks to Nick Saban. Nick Saban talks to, you know, so-and-so. Jim Harbaugh, I met him when he was the quarterback at the Chicago Bears when I did a book on Mike Ditka. So my relationship with Harbaugh goes back into the mid-80s. And so when I went come calling on Jim at Michigan, he remembered that. And he was like, sure, come on and let's talk. And I think that's what makes these books unique. John has built up access in the SEC and trust in the SEC over the last 10 years. And that's what excites me about these kinds of books, because when you can get behind the scenes, as we did in so many places, and you're a fly on the wall, as I was at Arizona a lot, you really feel what the players or the athletes are feeling and the coaches are feeling and the athletic directors are feeling as they're making real-time decisions that are monumental, million-dollar, multi-million-dollar decisions. And so as a journalist, these kinds of books really excite me. I don't know how many more of them I have in me, so thank you very much for a third and fourth one of these. But it's I'm really proud of this one. I think this is one of the best books I've ever done because it was done in real time and a very chaotic period. And as you said, I think by the time you get to the end of it, you have a very good understanding of what the state of the game is right now.
Okay, one other thing, and I appreciate you giving me so much time. The book is out, the price. There's lots of chapters in here that deal with coaches. You also get deep into NIL. And the last question I'll give you is, what are people going to take away from this book in learning about the collectives and how it's a place in Las Vegas that is pointing to certain schools and universities and how that all works together? Because this part of it, I think the fans are saying, I'm writing a check, but I don't really know what this check's all about. I'm a big cigar booster and they want my $1 million or they want my $5. I don't know where this is all going. And you go into that in here.
Yeah, it's very difficult right now, especially for the older donors and boosters of programs who are more than happy to put their name on a new weight room or put their name on a new track for the track and field team or a new nutrition bar at a program. But when you say to them, look, I need you to donate $20,000 or $50,000 so I can go out and get, I need a wide receiver. I need to go into the portal, essentially a form of free agency, and we've got to bid in order to get a wide receiver, or I'm not going to have the team that I think that I can have next year. That's number one. That causes a problem on two fronts. One, if I do donate, one of two things happens, or three things. That receiver's great, and you go, okay, I can see where my money went. If that receiver fails and is a flop, you start to think one of two things. One, I got the wrong coach because he can't figure out how to recruit the right players. Or two, I'm never going to do this again because I don't get anything back from it for me personally.
Yeah,
the collectives are the wild card here. You know what Ohio State has done. They've been very smart and they have a singular focus of, we're going to raise $20 million. That's going to be our budget for to go into the portal, to keep our really good players happy, and to go and build a national championships caliber team. There are not many people that can put $20 million in. Oregon with Phil Knight can, Division Street. Miami has proved with Mario Cristobal that they have that $10 to $15 million ability. There's a story in there, chapters in there on Maryland called Macy's. And that's really the last place you want to be in big time college football now is Macy's is in the middle. Macy's as a retailer is failing. Well, you got Saks Fifth Avenue up here picking you off, and you have Target down here picking you off, and they've got a $5 million NIL budget that just doesn't work in the big picture. So collectives are critical, and the symphony between the athletic department, the football team, and their collective is more important than it's ever been. And the ones that have figured that out are the ones that are going to be, you're going to be watching them play in the college football playoffs.
It is out. It is called The Price. Armin and I could do 2 hours, but I'm not going to do that on this day. The book is out. Make sure that you get it. Pick it up. It is great reading inside and out. Armin Katayan, along with John Talty, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Brad. Really enjoyed it.
So the Pac-2 has expanded, and John Wilner has been working round the clock. Not that it shows or anything, as he takes a couple minutes away from the keyboard. You've got smoke coming out of your fingertips, out of your ears. Are you surprised by this news that the Pac-2 is now expanded to 6, John?
Surprised at the timing, not at the result. I thought this would probably take until the spring. They moved much quicker than expected, but certainly the top football schools in the Mountain West joining the Pac-12 was one of the, perhaps the most likely outcome of this whole scenario with Washington State and Oregon State trying to rebuild the conference. You know, they could have done some kind of reverse merger with 9 or more schools from the Mountain West. They could have joined the Mountain West in a straight up expansion move, but taking the top tier, and there's some good football schools and there's some decent media markets in that group. Mm-hmm. Taking the top tier, moving them into the Pac-12, that was probably the most likely outcome, but they're not done. This is only the first step. They still need at least 2 more schools by the summer of 2026 in order to be in compliance with NCAA rules.
They're in a position of strength, though, now, from my view, because yeah, we're expanding. We're going to keep the Pac-12 valued brand, 108 years of history and tradition and heritage and all of that. The media deal they have presently with CW, I'm sure there's going to be other media companies coming after them now. Where, in your view, is the next steps? And do you agree with my view, first of all? Am I wrong on any of that?
No, I do agree. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is not necessarily strength, it's stability. That Washington State and Oregon State now, they have clarity on their futures. They are going to have a conference. The Pac-12 name is going to live on. But I do think that they will have interest from media companies, Fox, ESPN, the CW, maybe Turner. They could all have varying degrees of interest. Now, are they going to pay enough to elevate these programs to the Big 12 or ACC level? No, not even close. But it's all relative compared to where Washington State and Oregon State have been for 13 months and compared to the Mountain West as it currently exists, mm-hmm. the next version of the Pac-12 is going to be a pretty good deal. I mean, you know, Washington State, Oregon State, San Diego State, Fresno, Boise, Colorado State, it's a pretty good football conference. Mm-hmm. You know, it is certainly the best of the non-Power Four football conferences. I'd argue that it could end up being closer to the Big 12 and ACC than those conferences are to the Big 10 and the SEC.
Okay, I know there's a lot breaking here, and I don't want to take too much of your time, so I want to go down this line. The losers in this right now, Wyoming, New Mexico, Air Force could be like Notre Dame. They're never going to get the numbers, right? But Air Force could pick their spot. I don't know what New Mexico does. I don't know what Wyoming does. Are they losers in this?
Well, it certainly seems like it, and they're not the only ones. Utah State, Nevada, San Jose State, right? Let's assume that the 2 schools that the Pac-12 still needs to add are from the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to look at some others, Tulane maybe, Memphis, UTSA, but let's assume that those schools don't join the Pac-12. So who are the 7th and 8th schools to fill it out? I think UNLV is probably atop the list. You know, the Vegas market, good football, basketball tradition, football's improving. I'd put UNLV at the top of the list. And then number 8, maybe it's Air Force. you know, the service academies have got some value academically. They've got, you know, media value. But those other schools, whoever's not picked for those last two spots, are in big trouble. I mean, big trouble, and may have to, you know, eventually move down to FCS. There's just not going to be a spot for a six-team conference that has the lowest value schools in the Mountain West.
Okay, what about Stanford and Cal looking at their situation in a couple of years and saying, we should have never done this with the ACC? Travels out of reach. They actually do have a good television deal down the road. I'm laying that out as a scenario, or there's no way, Brad, they go back.
Well, I don't think they're going to go back unless they don't have a choice. If the ACC implodes, Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina all leave. What is left of the ACC? In that case, Stanford and Cal may reverse course, but they want to be part of the ACC, partly because of the academic reputations of the schools, but also Stanford and Cal have got a lot of alumni and a lot of donors on the East Coast. That Washington, New York corridor is filled with Stanford and Cal alums, big money alums, and to be competing in the ACC gives those alums access to the school's games. So I think in that regard, Stanford and Cal want to be part of the ACC unless they don't have a choice.
John Wilner, as the news is breaking this morning on the Pac-2 now becoming the Pac-6, as always, I appreciate you. We'll see you on Monday. Thanks.
Thanks much, Brett.